We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Molly and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
7:50 The Game in Portland. Talk to Jeff Van Gundy, and he was his upbeat usual self.
I don't think we're going to play NBA basketball again this year.
I understand where he's coming from too, Molly. There is not a vaccine, and there is the possibility that will return to play, and there will be an athlete that tests positive. But I don't know either if we just want to say, because of that, we're not going to know, and they're not going to be able to figure it out. And I'm surprised, I guess, at how people, they're exploring the worst-case scenario. And the worst-case scenario is there's no NBA, there's no NHL, there's no football. But I think somewhere in between, there's a point of discussion where there can be, there might be, and optimistically, you're thinking there will be.
I want to read Mark Berman, okay? I like the New York Post telling me that the NBA is, quote, very determined to have a champion and that they are exploring all sorts of ideas. Listen, I think the harder thing to do is come up with an idea of how you go about it as opposed to just saying, well, someone's going to get it again and here we go. That's not what they want.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
Speaking of Foles, did you see he's training for an Ironman? His training was like for a 9.8-mile run, 33,000-yard swim, and an hour and a half on the bike.
How soon does he get injured training for that?
See, I got to tell you, the minute you said he's training for an Ironman, I thought to myself, how quickly before Kevin jumps in and makes a joke about injury?
Molly Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Molly and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Yet another glorious morning in the fine city of Chicago.
Morning, Molly. Happy Wednesday. How are you?
David, it's a lot like the other mornings in the fine city of Chicago. Doesn't seem
not
like
really.
There's been a lot of change in a while. You know.
Well, something did change today. March is over. March is over. The longest sportsless month ever has just ended. And today, April 1st, Wednesday, we're halfway through the week. So we got to look at the bright side. Somebody has to, right?
Turn of the calendar. That's something to cheer at this point. Yeah. And no April Fool's jokes this year. We've erased that idea. So
yeah, that's not a good idea doing a radio show to have April Fool's jokes. No, you could get in trouble.
No, never a good idea. Never a good idea for such silliness. The good news is the NFL says that they're going to start the 2020 season on time. The bad news is the NFL doesn't know if they're actually going to start the 2020 season on time. But they are planning accordingly, so that's nice. It's nice to know that something is up and running and being planned, and it's the NFL season. Nice one.
Well, you know that they're going to take that stance publicly, and you know that the show of strength from the NFL has been consistent. Whether or not they fully believe that that's going to be the way things go, that wasn't a surprise. Was it the fact that they will maintain that? Up until they have to look at it differently, they won't. And the what struck me yesterday, Molly, here we heard from Jeff Pasch, the NFL Executive Vice President. and we'll talk about this at the 5 at 5, was just the confidence, though, with which he spoke and the certainty. And I don't know if he was trying to reassure owners, players, coaches, a combination of fans, everybody, but there didn't seem to be much wiggle room, and there wasn't that sort of doubt that you heard from other people when they talk about their own schedules and their own sports leagues.
Yeah, and I think it's because it's not right around the corner. I mean, right around the corner we have the draft, and that is going to carry on in the same fashion in which the rest of the offseason has been going on. Obviously, all the quarterback schools and all the training camps and everything could be pushed back. We're not sure about the rest of it. But it did bother me slightly that they said they're not going to be releasing the schedule quite on time, because that's a big moment on the calendar as well. We already know who they're playing, but we don't know the dates and the times. And there's a lot of fun information out there, who will be on national television and how often, and what that means for the NFL's own projections of how this will go.
I wonder if part of the reason, doesn't it have to be to find out exactly where they're going to wait as long as possible? Because if they do plan to start on time, they're going to avoid the cities that are affected the most by this, maybe early on. Maybe in September, they'll try not to schedule games in New York or maybe Chicago until the last possible weekend that they have to schedule games to get all 16 in. Maybe that's part of it, but you're right. I mean, until they release the schedule, I suppose that will be the biggest tell. And up until that point, they're going to sound like, look, it's the NFL. They feel like they can do anything. Roger Goodell feels like he can fine you if you criticize him. So they're going to do whatever they want on their own timeline.
No doubt about it. And it is fascinating to consider the way that they go about these things. But I got to tell you, I was talking to some NFL people yesterday, made a round of phone calls, and it really is kind of fun because you know you're going to get people, right? I mean, everybody, we're all kind of in the same boat. It's almost like people are sitting there waiting for a phone call, so you can usually get through to more people than you normally would. And you know, the way it used to be is you'd make your round of calls and then you wait all day for someone to call you back. Now you're just catching people because it's easy to. Where are they going?
When they pick up on the first ring, you figure they're not doing much.
You know? They were waiting for this call. I can't believe
you.
It came in. Exactly.
Thank you. What took you so long? That. I didn't think you were ever going to get off the air.
But it was funny because part of the takeaway, David, part of what I discussed with people, and there were two different guys that said almost the same thing, which is always something that tells you that people are talking kind of insularly. The idea was the teams that made no coaching changes are going to be in a much better place than teams that did. And the teams that didn't change their quarterback are going to be in a better place than the teams that did. And I just think it's fascinating because the Bears made changes to their staff and they're bringing in a different quarterback, but I don't feel like they're as behind the eight ball as some of the other teams that did those sorts of things because of the idea that that they have continuity with a quarterback that knows their scheme and continuity in that the play caller isn't going to change his scheme.
Imagine being Ron Rivera, getting in front of your team for the first time, whenever that may be. It might be August at training camp, or a rookie head coach like Matt Rhule down in Carolina, getting in front of your team for the first time in August. Matt Nagy does have that advantage. And you know, it's an interesting point, Molly, because I do think teams who have continuity will be able to take advantage of that. And the Bears probably fall into that category, oddly, even with welcoming Nick Foles. I don't feel like he seems like as much of an outsider as maybe your typical new quarterback might. And he partly is because he understands the scheme, and that's why they traded for him in part. The other part is just his personality seems like a guy that, as we saw yesterday a little bit in him doing videos for the Bears Instagram account and just the Hallmark postcard pictures that he posted on Twitter with him and his wonderful, beautiful family. This is a guy that is going to fit in quickly, And the Bears probably, you know, they know his personality, so maybe there will be that something they can take advantage of.
One guy I talked to is friends with Juan Castillo, and he said that he knows this guy. He knows him as a coach, and he said, I'm telling you right now, he's been, like, FaceTiming every one of these players every day. It's got to be killing him that he can't get up and running. And he said, you know, these guys are probably thinking, wow, what's wrong with this guy? Because of his relentless nature. And that, like, you know, he sat out a year. He just wants to coach. He's probably moving furniture around in his living room trying to line up something different. And there are guys like that that they'd be going out of their heads at the idea of not coaching right now.
And that's when the players probably are trying to do what we talked about when we just came on the air. They're saying, "Well, who's that? I don't want to answer that phone call. I don't you again?
I'm busy."
And Castillo knows they're there.
Exactly right.
But captive audience.
To get that kind of personality scouting report on some of these guys, you know, there are a lot of coaches out there that have that, you know, alpha times 10 sort of personality. So I imagine there are some guys that crawl in the walls as they're trying to get ready and figure out not only, you know, again, you got to introduce yourself to these players, but you want to get them. You've probably seen something. You've probably broken down tape. You're dying to get to a couple of ideas. So there is a fun element to it as well. We kind of just skipped over that. Nick Foles is now officially a Chicago Bear. The trade
has
been announced. Yes. So does that, here's the thing, David, and you've said this earlier, and I think anybody that knows anything about professional sports, you always follow the money. So when you see that happen, do you believe that, oh, they got a new backup quarterback, oh, they got a guy competing, or look, the new starter's here?
Did it seem as if they were kind of trotting out a backup quarterback? I don't remember Chase Daniel getting this sort of treatment. Also, Mully, I texted Bigsis. We're going to talk to him later this morning again. And this is maybe just something that stood out to me. I don't know. What was he signing? Because wasn't he already under contract? This was a trade. He's not a free agent. Does he have a new contract? Did he restructure?
Yeah, they did.
There was a picture of him signing something.
Yeah, he did. They restructured that deal and spread the money out a little bit, right? But I mean, well, we can discuss it with Biggs, but I think there was a slight alteration to it. So,
but didn't you feel like
it is a trade?
Didn't it seem as if that he was given the starting quarterback treatment?
That's what I'm driving at. I mean, I don't know how else to take it. And, you know, look, when you bring in a guy that's making that kind of money, you're basically bringing in a new starter. I don't know how else to look at it. It's very simple in professional sports. There's a certain amount of money when you're talking about a salary cap, and everybody gets a slice. And guess what? If you're at the birthday party and you get the bigger slice than the birthday boy, that usually indicates that you're also very special.
You know it's serious when they post a picture with you and your dog, and your dog's in the photo. So if we're going to get to know his dog, you know it's serious.
What's Mitch dog's name? Wrigley? I forget.
I don't know. Camry.
We'll find out where he ends up. Very interesting the way that this is being presented by our guy Dustin Rose. Nearly one-fifth of the football subdivision athletic directors believe there's at least a 50% chance of a full college season not happening. Why not say four-fifths of them believe there will be one? But it's just, I guess, because it's shocking the idea that this could bleed into college football. But Stadium did a nice little, they got a hold of 112 of the football bowl subdivision team athletic directors and polled them on this. I thought it was a fairly positive response, but I guess if you turn it around, a fifth of these guys don't believe the season's going to happen.
Well, that was oddly, and I think Brett McMurphy's a tremendous reporter, but that was oddly how the story began, Mully. And I don't know if that was the way that I looked at it either. And I guess, again, we continue to talk about this, is how do you view the facts in front of you? Are you looking at that as, okay, 20% of all ADs think that there's a good chance, it's 50-50 whether or not you're not going to play, or the other way, that the, you know, there's 85 of them that think that there's a 7 out of 10 chance that they're going to play.
Right.
You can do the math, you can twist the numbers. I think it's a little early to project, but the story itself, when you hear the anonymous quotes from those athletic directors, yes, it underscores just how uncertain many of them feel about what's ahead, because the football revenue is what is the lifeblood of college athletics, and yep, and the thought of not having that to rely upon, wow, you heard some of the desperation in some of those quotes.
And obviously we know they've lost that basketball revenue, and then you think to yourself, you know, do we really want to discuss this with student athletes as opposed to professional athletes? It's fair to sit and wonder about some of the stuff that's going on professionally, but is it right to worry about the college kids or the college season? Are we being somehow ghoulish if we're thinking about that? And I know Nancy Armour in USA Today wrote about how, you know, how wrong it is to look at athletes the way that we look at them. I didn't agree with that. I didn't agree with what she was saying, because I think the athletes are being better taken care of than the majority of the humans, right? I mean, the rest of the world doesn't know if they have this COVID-19. The rest of the world doesn't have the kind of treatments in place, hasn't recovered. There are players who have already recovered, and part of that being you get the best treatment that you possibly can. So I don't know that it's fair to equate all of the professional athletes. There is a hierarchy. I think that's one of the things that has really come through over the course of watching this pandemic, is that if you are wealthy enough, you can catch this in Australia, get all the care you need, and take a private jet back to your house in L.A. and not be any worse for wear and tear.
It doesn't discriminate, though, and I think, you know, that's the thing. It just doesn't. And, you know, the athletes, as we move forward and you know, when we do return to sports, they will have access to things that maybe, you know, people sitting at home, if they're affected by this, won't, and they'll be taken care of in that way. So, yeah, I'll have to read that column a little closer. I did not see what Nancy had to say about that. But, you know, everybody's trying to look at their own sport and trying to project. And I thought one of the more interesting things we'll talk about as well was the July 4th projection of Major League Baseball. That's sort of the latest story on CBSSports.com.
Right.
Dane Perry asked the question, why the 4th of July, or answers it, why the 4th of July could work best as MLB's target date for 2020 opening day. And it references the couple of different, you know, when you talk about the Toronto ban of public events till June 30th and some of the things that suggests. So we'll get into all that.
I don't know why we have to hook everything to holidays, David. I mean, July 4th is Independence Day. Easter is obviously not going to happen. There's something about the calendar that we just, like, what, instead of saying, hey, it's July 6th, we're like, wait a minute, it could be the 4th. It just seems a little crazy. We'll get into it. We've got the 5 and 5. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My birthday's May 22nd. Can we start then?
National holiday. Or at least a,
please,
a show holiday. Come on. All right. We got the 5 and 5 next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment brought to you by the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. The University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign puts you in the same hallways as 26 Pulitzer Prize winners, 23 Nobel laureates, and a long list of innovators. Find the power within you, the power of I. Visit illinois.edu/power for more info.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Now that the NFL has increased the playoff field by 2 teams, should the way we view team expectations change? Is it enough to simply make the playoffs for the Bears, or should GM Ryan Pace be expected to win in the playoffs in order to return for another season, and will it be easier for the Bears?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this, about how I want to weigh my expectations, and frankly, I don't even know that we're going to notice one more game, one more team. I keep thinking that home field advantage becomes a bigger deal in terms of being the number one seed. Now the number one seed and only the number one seed gets that bye, and how will that play out? What will happen at the end of a year? Do you hold a guy out? Are you going to play all your guys? Because guess what? We need to win in order to keep the number one seed. It changes that whole argument. And as much as I want to pick it apart, I go back and I remember that the Ravens were the best team in football last year, and they lost. They came right out of the gate and lost. And I don't know if that means they were doing it with smoke and mirrors, and you get into the playoffs and all of a sudden the quarterback can't hit the broadside of a barn for some reason. I don't know. I don't know how to evaluate that particular team, but it gives me more hope that happened, because I think that we're going to be seeing the two teams with the best record already. They're the best teams. They got the best record, and now they're going to have that bye. It becomes even more important since only one team in each conference has it. And if we see those teams in the Super Bowl every year for 5 years, well, guess what? They're going to have to expand and get everybody in the playoffs. So at this point, with just one game, I am not going to say that you got to kind of watch the season unfold and how it happens. Can a team catch fire? Can a team make a late run? Can a team crawl in at 8-8 and then all of a sudden find magic and just end up making a run to the Super Bowl? So I think that it's going to be hard to evaluate the playoffs and individual teams until we see how it happens. But it's just one more game, and that means revenue. And that means that expectations probably change ever so slightly, but only ever so slightly. And I think that Ryan Pace, even in the old system, you probably need to win and win in the playoffs. But, you know, we've seen teams win divisions and get coaches fired, right? We've seen teams get to the Super Bowl. We saw a team here in Chicago get to the Super Bowl and fire their defensive coordinator. So, effectively, anyway. So yeah, I don't think that... I don't think it's going to make that huge an impact.
And the Bears went 10-6 in 2012 and fired the coach because he didn't get to the playoffs. How'd that work out? You know, I think that when you look at the arguments about, you know, well, it's diluting the playoffs and it's going to be a watered-down version, I understand that discussion, but I don't think anybody's going to be making that argument come Monday morning after the first weekend of having 6 playoff games. It just doesn't seem to be the case. If an 8-8 team beats a number 2 seed, I think we'll probably be talking about how big of an upset that was and what that says about how great the NFL playoffs are. I don't know that I get that the argument necessarily, because the playoffs are great in the NFL. It isn't broken, no, but I think that this enhances the interest, and certainly It gives teams in NFL cities something more attainable, perhaps, because if you add a team, you get to the playoffs, and it still does mean something. So if you're in the context of the Bears in Chicago, Ryan Pace making the playoffs next year, even in an expanded field, would represent something tangible, something in the way of progress. How do you get there? That's a really good point, because if you start out fast and you kind of really struggle down the stretch and the arrow isn't necessarily pointing up, then you've got some issues to look at internally and you might want to make a change anyway. But if you're in the playoffs, I think that's a pretty good standard to have to meet if you're the Bears at the stage that they are at. If they get to the playoffs and lose, how do they lose? You know, why do they lose? I don't know that you can just have a blanket answer to, if they get to the playoffs, they have to win for him to keep his job. I don't think it's that simple. I am in favor of this expanded field. I think it's great for everybody.
Well, I mean, the expanded field is one thing, but just because there are upsets and a lot of football games and more of a quantity of games in the playoffs doesn't mean the quality is going to be any better. If anything, the quality will be worse. I mean, even without the expanded playoff field, you can go back to last year's playoffs and that horrific Buffalo versus Houston game. Of course, yeah, it was exciting because it came down to the end of the game, and the quality of play, though, was just so bad. There was a reason it was a close game, because both of those teams sucked, and it's going to be more teams that suck that are in the playoffs. And just because there's three games on now on Wild Card Saturday and Sunday instead of two games, yeah, of course, everybody's going to be making more money, and a lot of people will enjoy it, but the quality of play is not going to be any better. As far as Ryan Pace needing to make the playoffs to keep his job, yeah, absolutely. He's been here for 5 years and has been to the playoffs one time. I know in this city in particular, executives and general managers and VPs tend to keep their jobs way longer than they should in a lot of the different sports. But I think Ryan Pace in particular realizes that his seat is getting a little warm, and all of the moves that he's made this offseason have kind of spoken to that. I think even he is aware of the fact that he does need to make the playoffs to keep his job. And obviously, if more teams are involved and let into the playoffs now, it will be easier for him. So good news for Ryan Pace, I guess.
Kevin, I understand your thought on the quality of play, but I think this is just going to make the stakes higher at the end of the season when you have two more teams that are fighting for their postseason lives. I think this is going to be a good thing, particularly at the end of the season. And hell, I'm all about three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday on Wild Card weekend. I just have to hope that they are good games. But that's exciting to me, the prospect of that. And reducing the number of teams to one that get a first round bye is an interesting nuance to all this, because since 2012, only teams that have had that first round bye have won the Super Bowl. So all of this is interesting stuff. In terms of the Bears, you should be hoping that they win a playoff game, but it's all about, David, as you pointed out, what transpires. If the Bears make the postseason and they fall short because of bad quarterback play, that's the scenario, I think, that you have to look at where Ryan Pace gets fired. But if it's for some other reason, maybe not. The quarterback is the biggest issue right now, and we're going to see in 2020, hopefully, if this issue has finally been solved for the Bears.
You can always sign me up for more football. More football, more sports, bigger stakes, harder hits. This is an old bit between Mully and I, if Mully remembers this one. That's what we want. We want big pieces of meat cooked over charcoal grills, hard hits, and more football. That's if forget about apple pie, Chevrolet, and baseball. Big pieces of meat, charcoal grill, hard-hitting NFL football. Give me more of that. Now, Kevin, quality of play, the quality of play in the regular season should go up, because that number one seed, that number one seed is going to be so precious. So more teams will be playing at a higher level.
So they weren't trying before, and now they're going to start trying harder because there's
another
playoff.
Well, week 17 matters more. I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly. There were week 16 and 17, there were weeks that did not matter. That's a fact. Kevin, the quality of play thing isn't even part of this question, but you're like off the reservation. You are absolutely off the reservation.
I'm actually at the studio right now. I'm here.
You're making me. If it wasn't an edict that I wasn't allowed to go into the NBC Tower, we're in the Prudential Building right now. The NBC Tower was a decade ago. I'd come down there and kick your rear end. I mean, I'll show you quality of play, mister. Okay? Stop it. Absolutely stop
crazy.
It. More flip. Now, Ryan Pace has to get in the postseason. With having an extra team in, I think Ryan Pace has to get in. I don't think he has to win, but I think he has to be in the conversation, and it would be really, really nice for him to be there.
I mean, that's a pretty general question.
What do you think was going through Mitch Trubisky's mind Tuesday as the Bears welcomed Nick Foles via social media? And Foles shot a video for the team's Instagram account about how excited he was about coming to Chicago. How aware do the Bears have to be about treating Foles like the number one guy in light of Ryan Pace's public support of Mitch? And what do you expect Pace to say when he does address the Foles trade?
I know we're in a position where we get to overanalyze everything now because we don't have much else to do. But I was struck by how elaborate, might be overstating it, but certainly the Bears made Nick Foles feel as welcome as you could be if you're an NFL quarterback who just traded to a new team. The virtual hug, you know, it's a long embrace, and he was all over it. And if you're Mitch Trubisky and you're watching that, or even if you didn't see that, if you're aware of what's going on here, you are embracing the challenge because you can't look at it any other way. It is a challenge to your NFL longevity because as a starting quarterback, you had a certain – and last year he was the unchallenged starting quarterback, and there's a difference in mindset for him coming into this season. There's got to be because – if the competition is truly open. And I don't know that if it's an open competition, great, but I think that maybe Foles has an advantage here. He certainly, there's a lot of love for a guy if he's just going to come here and get paid a lot of money, you know, guaranteed a lot of money to be a mentor or a backup or hold a clipboard. We have made a lot about how he's a better reliever than a starter. And I think he's going to be your primary starter, and certainly he looks the part, and they presented him that way. Ryan Pace, all he's got to do is stay consistent with what he has said all along, open competition. He doesn't really ever have to mean what he says, so I don't even think it matters what he says. But I think he'll probably say Nick Foles is here because he's a leader, he's a winner, and we want him to make everybody in that quarterback room, that very important quarterback room, better, and I think that's going to be the tone.
Yeah, well, I kind of stopped listening to Ryan Pace a while ago, so I'm not too worried about what he says. It's what you do. And here's the thing about Mitch. You know, think about it as sugar and spice, right? They tried to feed this guy dessert, and now they're going to give him a little spicy plate of food and see how he reacts to it, right? You got to have an iron stomach if you want to be a quarterback in the NFL. You should be challenged every year. You should have somebody behind you that is pushing you, not trying to coach you up, right? They have a quarterback now. They went out and got a quarterback, and they acted accordingly. They didn't bring in another quarterback coach, although they have a lot of quarterback coaches up there. So I think it's a good thing for everyone involved. You know, this coddling of Mitch is finally over. Now, finally, in his fourth season, there is an expectation that if he can't do it, guess what? He's replaced. They waited long enough. In fact, you could argue they waited too long, and they should have made a move a year ago when things started to fall apart. You don't get to lose four consecutive games in the NFL. That's not something that happens. You lose one game, everybody, hey, we're going to stay the course. Everything's all right. You lose two. Yeah, you know what? We're kind of in trouble. By the time you get to three losses in a row, someone's got to go. You got to make a move. You got to make a change. That's the NFL. So I think everything they have done has been operating in one way toward Mitch. And guess what? The party's over. So they got a new guy here. And look at the money. Does anyone think that he's not going to start Nick Foles? Nick Foles, if it's an open competition, is going to win it. And he's going to start, and he's going to be the quarterback, and we're going to bury the storyline of what happened with the number two overall pick, and why did you trade up for it, and why did you take this guy, and why didn't you get the Hall of Famer? All that stuff, it's just a tiresome storyline that you can finally put to bed. Have they picked up the option yet for Mitch? I forget. When is the date? Everything's sequential. Well, guess what?
May 3rd.
In the sequence, they got themselves a new quarterback. So we got to wait another month for that.
Well, I don't think anything is really ever going through Mitch Trubisky's mind at any given time, but I think if he was watching that Instagram video with Nick Foles yesterday, I don't know if he was, but probably doesn't feel too confident, doesn't feel like he's being coddled anymore, Mully. I think you're spot on there, and I'm glad that he's not being coddled anymore either, because his performance did not dictate coddling. Just because you're taken high up in the draft and you are anointed the guy and the general manager has all of his expectations and hopes riding on your right arm, it doesn't necessarily make you worthy of that spot. And he's not been worthy of that spot. He's been woefully below average pretty much every season that he's been here. You don't trade for a former Super Bowl MVP that's making $15 million if you don't think he's going to be the starter. And I know that Nick Foles' history has shown him to be better in relief than as a starter, David, to your point. But I think with the Bears in the situation that they are in, win-now mode with a defense and a special teams unit that are very good and are ready to win at this point, this season, if there is one, I mean, you have to go with Nick Foles over Mitchell Trubisky. And as far as Ryan Pace, yeah, I stopped listening to him a long time ago as well.
What was Mitch Trubisky thinking when he saw that Nick Foles video? Wow, this just got a little more real. I mean, it's got to be really hitting him now, if it hasn't already. In terms of this issue about Ryan Pace's public support of Trubisky, I hope that's not even anything that anybody like Matt Nagy is mindful of whatsoever. I mean, this should be just a straight-up competition, and whoever is, you know, looking the best is the starter. I don't know if that will be the case, though. What do you expect Pace to say when he addresses the Foles trade? You know, the usual, Nick has a championship pedigree. He's going to be a leader in our locker room and in the quarterback room, and he's going to mentor Mitch. I just hope, I'd rather hear him just say simply, the situation is fluid, but I don't know if we're going to hear that.
Yeah, Mitch's 4 years of eligibility, the scholarship is over. Okay, this is the fifth year. He's not being guaranteed. He's not going to graduate school. I hope he saw it. I hope this helps light a fire under his rear end. But you can't pay $19 million and give up a fourth-round pick just to light a fire under Mitchell Trubisky's backside. As you guys talked about in the first segment, follow the money. You're paying this guy almost $20 million. If that's just to motivate Mitch, then I think they're doing this all wrong. I want Nick Foles to take the majority of the snaps up at Halas Hall whenever training camp starts, and when and where the first game of the NFL season is played. I want Nick Foles under center throwing the ball. That's it.
Ooh, that's a good question.
NFL Executive Vice President Jeff Pasch said the league's focus has been on a normal traditional season, starting on time, playing in front of fans in our regular stadiums, and going through the full 16-game regular season and a full set of playoffs. How surprising was Pasch's optimism on behalf of the NFL?
Oh, I don't think it was surprising at all. I think the NFL has been trying to forge ahead with business and trying to pretend like everything is going to be fine and they're going to be able to get to where they want to go, and I don't blame them for feeling that way. He also said that that's our expectation. Am I certain of that? I'm not certain I'll be here tomorrow, but I'm planning on it, and in the same way we're planning. I mean, listen, I guess he means he could get hit by a bus or maybe hit by something else. I don't know. But I'm telling you, you proceed as if everything is going to be normal, and then you shift accordingly as normal changes for you. They've got time, so they're just biding their time. And the fact that they didn't release the schedule tells you that they don't know if they have the schedule done, but they've announced that they're pushing it back. Why? Well, because they don't know that they're going to be on that schedule, so they're waiting, biding their time, and then they will make decisions as they're forced to make them. Whenever someone says something, the new buzzword or the new buzz term, the new buzzword, I guess, aspirational. Oh, yeah. You know, that guy that was standing up there saying all that nonsense, that's just aspirational. That's something to aspire to, not something that's actually going to happen. So I think all that happened yesterday is the NFL was aspirational.
Which guy spewing nonsense? You're talking about Jeff Pasch here, right?
Any of the people.
Okay. Anybody. All right.
Pulling something out of their aspirational.
Maybe Pasch just meant he couldn't predict what would happen tomorrow. He might not know who he's going to shake hands with the next day because you never quite can tell.
I thought we were doing jazz hands now, David.
That's right. And elbows. You know, here's the one thing that has stood out to me about the NFL's consistency in its stance, whether it's Jeff Pasch, Roger Goodell, or anybody speaking on the league's behalf. When you hear other commissioners and other people involved with other leagues, like the NBA and Major League Baseball, from Rob Manfred, Adam Silver, and the NHL even, you hear alternatives. You hear a lot of different possibilities being considered and openly discussed, whether it's, you know, a July 4th opening day for Major League Baseball or one of the many NBA ideas about going somewhere and doing a tournament. There's been kind of like a spitballing when publicly, and I think it's been really interesting to entertain some of those possibilities, and it's sort of like this open discussion. The NFL, there's no open discussion. This is going to be what the league says it's going to be. They're going to maintain it because this is the NFL, and they are at a different level than the other leagues. So I'm not sure if it was optimism as much as it might have been arrogance. And I think that is consistent with the NFL stance, is that we know what we want to do. We believe we can do this. I don't know if there is necessarily doubt, but we're going to try to force this anyway, because as long as we continue this stance, we're going to speak it to existence, because we are all aspirational here.
Yeah, David, I think you're pretty much spot on there. This is definitely a very arrogant comment by Jeff Pasch, and I don't know who Jeff Pasch is if he walked in here wearing a name tag right now, but I'm sure he's a very rich man, and I'm sure that his ability to make more money in the future is dependent on there being a full NFL season with concessions and beer sales and TV rights and all of the things that come with an NFL season. So you can call it aspirational, you can call it arrogant, you can call it BS. It's probably a mixture of all of those things. This guy's a little bit of a clown for coming out and saying this so stringently, when really nobody has any idea when we're going to be able to get back to normal life. Not anybody, not a doctor, not a scientist, not anybody way smarter than Jeff Pasch. So this guy can go, you know, Pasch off.
I don't take exception to a majority of it, except for the comment about playing in front of fans. Look, we've been measuring this pandemic in 2-week increments. Now the social distancing guidelines have been extended through the end of April. We're talking about September when we're talking about the NFL season. I mean, hopefully things will improve by then and get more back to normal, but the truth is, we don't know.
I mean, people aren't even really socially distancing. You look on Twitter, there's a whole group of people in New York City. There are all these idiots out on the lakefront that the mayor had to close the lake. We live in a country full of idiots that are not helping the case and trying to get back to real life and normality anytime soon.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. And if people are not taking this seriously, this is only going to prolong this whole situation. So people need to step up their game and improve and stay the hell home. But, you know, in terms of the optimism, you know, I think it's okay to say for now you're planning on starting the season on time. But playing in front of fans is the issue here. I think we're going to see a completely different world in terms of how we see games being played. I think you are going to see empty stadiums when sports does return, or at least a very, very reduced number of fans, if any. So that's the only part I took issue with here.
5:46 in the morning, Kevin finally said something right. People are being stupid about social distancing. You have to play by the rules. Now, I have no problem with what Jeff Pasch said. I wish Roger Goodell had said this. I don't think this needs to be like our government. We don't need to have the president and the vice president at press conferences together. This message.
What about the MyPillow guy?
You want to hear some fun audio? The Pope, Mike Francesa, had some thoughts about the MyPillow guy. But if we're going to go down that road, you're kind of teeing me up here, David. I didn't need to see the MyPillow guy. I know I sent you guys a text like, oh my gosh, here's the MyPillow guy. But what the MyPillow guy is doing is a really good thing. I just don't need to hear him tell me about God and everything else. So let's keep those things separate. So I don't need
Nick
to hear
Foles
from
or
Jeff,
the pillow guy.
I don't need to hear from Jeff Pasch. I want to hear from Roger Goodell. The NFL is selling hope, and there's nothing wrong with that right now. We need some hope in our lives. It would have been tone deaf for the NFL to have actually put out a schedule with a date and a location of a game for two teams playing head to head. That would have been tone deaf. So that's the first. That's a really good play by the NFL. The NFL is handling this, in my opinion, perfectly. I just don't need to hear from Jeff Pasch. I want to hear from one voice on league matters, and that's Roger Goodell.
I feel like that's kind of a condescending question.
Is it fair to wonder what the college football season will look like in a COVID-19 world? A recent anonymous survey of 112 D1 athletic directors by stadium found 85 of them believe there is at least a 70% chance the season goes on unencumbered. Do these odds encourage or frighten you?
Well, I think that's actually encouraging when you put it that way, isn't it? I mean, that's 3 out of 4 athletic directors believe that there's a 70% chance of there being a season as is scheduled. And I think that is the optimistic way to look at it. That was a pretty sobering story, though, because the quotes from the athletic directors who were polled anonymously kind of underscored, as we talked about earlier, just the economic devastation that athletic departments and universities would face without a fall full of football on Saturday afternoon. And some of the quotes were, it would be devastating and some other things. But one guy anonymously, a Power 5 AD, I think summed up exactly where I am with this and saying, quote, "I'm optimistic we'll have a season, but ask me again in May what I think. This is so fluid that we just don't know." And I think when you see some of those numbers, you could look at it a couple different ways. You could spin it as saying, you know, there's a lot of athletic directors out there who are fearing the worst and expect the worst, and yet none of them really answered, according to the survey, that there would be a less than 50% chance of having the season go on. So there's some optimism out there. I know I have a lot of friends in college athletic departments that I've touched base with over the past week or so. But there's a real anxiety that everybody shares with their own jobs, with their own futures. But I like the way that Dustin put it with the NFL. You know, they're trying to sell hope, and I think every sports entity is going to try to do that to whatever degree they can. So I'm going to look at this story as saying just the way that it was phrased in the question. Yeah, 3 out of 4 ADs believe that there's a 70% chance of there being college football in the fall, and no sport needs fans more than college football, more than college sports. So I'm going to look at this as probably optimistically.
That's good of you, David, and I think there is a lot of that going around. And I think when you read that story, you saw pessimism. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't necessarily that the majority felt that way. It's that a group felt that way. And the other thing they got into was the idea that they were going to be facing difficulty if they weren't a Power 5 conference. The smaller schools are going to be really affected by this. And, you know, I wonder, are we going to talk about college athletics without a crowd? Is, you know, we got into that a little bit yesterday about home field and that sort of thing. We talked about that a little earlier in the week. I wonder if that's what we're really talking about here. The idea of college sports going on behind some sort of curtain and without the audience there for it. So, you know, I felt worse, to be honest with you, just because of some of those quotes you mentioned.
I mean, I feel like college football and all sports are kind of in the same boat as the NFL, Major League Baseball. I mean, we're all in the same scenario right here, and it's definitely fair to wonder what college football will look like, or if or when it is delayed. You know, they could move the season potentially to the spring. I've heard some rumblings about that, if it's going to take longer to get everything shored up here in terms of COVID-19. But I don't think at this point there is a much of a chance the season goes on unencumbered, because unlike professional sports where the athletes are actually being paid, in college football, obviously, they are not. And the money that is being brought in is reliant on people packing the stadiums and the television rights and all of these things. And without fans there, and it's going to be really tough?
The answer is yes. It is fair to wonder what college football will look like in this coronavirus world here that we're living in. But I'm going to choose to look at the majority of these D1 ADs saying that there's a 70% chance as optimistic. But, you know, once again, it's just like the NFL. This is a fall sport. Here we are in April. We know April is off the books because of this stay-at-home order, this nationwide stay-at-home order. And we're just going to have to see where we are at the end of April. Hopefully, as Kevin referred to earlier, you know, to these idiots that don't want to take this seriously and don't want to stay home. Hopefully people get themselves in check and start staying home, start taking this seriously, because that's going to help the situation move forward.
If you want sports sooner rather than later, as I do, I think college football could be the leader in all of this. Now, David's right. The college football and the fans and the tailgate and the bands and the cheerleaders and the traditions are unlike any of our other sports. They really are. It's a big, huge part of college football. But these student athletes, college football players, typically do live together. And I think if you were able to go in and sterilize the places that they were going to live and to train, and if each college football player was tested for the virus and there was a green light, why couldn't they live together, train together, play against each other? Now, maybe we'll play less games. Why not start in July if some people believe that the warmer weather would help this whole thing? Also, don't have to play any non-conference games. Just play the conference games, play a conference championship game, and then have bowl season earlier. Maybe it's going to be around Thanksgiving instead of around New Year's Day or beyond. Maybe that's a way to look at it. Again, the 70% are selling hope. The other 20% are the naysayers. You got to believe in something. I believe that that would make sense. But again, I'm not a doctor, but I'd love to hear a doctor tell me if that would make sense.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Lucas Giolito was impressive in a teleconference saying this whole baseball thing must take a backseat to the COVID-19 crisis. Despite calling it a weird vibe, Giolito predicted the White Sox would pick up where they left off whenever they return. Is that easier said than done? And did the time already spent at spring training mean anything at all?
Yeah, I think the time spent at spring training was what created this vibe around the White Sox, which is they really think they got a good team. They're up and running and ready to win. And it really, I loved seeing Lucas Giolito, hearing him talk. I could hear that guy talk all day. He is a very intelligent, bright young guy, articulate guy. He kept everything. He said all the right things. He has the whole thing in perspective. And, you know, he is the one guy that you would worry about just from a contract standpoint that the White Sox, you don't want to lose Lucas Giolito at this point in his career. And I'm really anxious to see what he can do and how good he can be and if he can kind of repeat the wonderful version of himself that we saw last year. Really an amazing breakthrough for a young player. And, you know, he really tapped into something a year ago. And it's just fun to see that happen for a guy. And it just reminded me of what all the possibilities are. Big fan of Lucas Giolito. Really loved last season for him and want to see the White Sox anxious to get the baseball season going for all sorts of reasons. Number one, because it means a return to normal, but also, you know, been looking forward to this season for a while. They haven't won in a while, and I want them to win. And it made me feel happy to see Lucas Giolito. As much as he was talking about the COVID-19 crisis and as much as the weird vibe and all that stuff, but there is great optimism surrounding this team and the youth of it. So I'm optimistic about it, and it was fun to see him.
Well, I think we're so desperate for positivity that hearing him kind of provided some. And he could talk all day about the White Sox vibe and the White Sox spring training. It was just great to hear from him again. Can we get him hooked up for 5 at 5 tomorrow morning? Is that possible? Would he get up at 3 a.m. in California time? That would be a lot of fun. You know, I don't think they're going to necessarily lose anything. It was a really good, productive spring training. A lot of progress, a lot of momentum, a lot of enthusiasm. That's going to be there because the anticipation only heightens. You want to see how good this White Sox team can be. Potential is still there. So, no, it was just really good to hear from a guy who gets it and has that kind of perspective.
I love Lucas Giolito. Love hearing him. Love watching him pitch. And if he himself, personally, can pick up where he left off from last year, that would be great because he had an excellent season. But the White Sox last year were 72-89. I don't want them to collectively pick up where they left off. I want them to be a lot better than they were last year and that they have been the last few seasons. You know, all of the hope and the potential and the expectations we have for this team are all based off of what they're going to do and what they haven't done yet. So until they get out there and play regular season ball and live up to their potential, you know, I don't want to hear about their momentum because they have none. I don't want to hear about progress made in spring training because spring training doesn't mean a damn thing. When they start to play baseball again, real baseball, they need to perform, not pick up where they left off. They need to be much better.
This might be a little easier said than done just because this is like an off season, extended off season, but you know, the restrictions that these guys are under are a little more wide-ranging. They can't do what they usually do probably in a regular offseason to work out and all of that. But, you know, I think half of it is mental. So if you have an optimistic mindset, you're going to be okay coming back. And the spring training doesn't mean a whole lot in my mind. So I think it's going to be fine.
I don't like the White Sox, but I really like Lucas Giolito. I mean, you root for that guy. You cheer for that guy. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. I like everything about this guy. I can't wait for baseball to get back, and I can't wait to watch Lucas Giolito throw the ball.
Oh, you just made me happy saying that. All right, that's the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.